begin by referring to a statement that you see up here before you. It's kind of where I want to take our lesson this morning. A little kindness goes a long way. Many of us have heard that over the years, haven't we? A little kindness goes a long way. When was the, think back in your life and tell me, not tell me, maybe to yourself, do you remember the last time someone has done a kindness for you? And if you can think of who that person was and what that act of kindness was on your behalf, what was your response to that? What did you think about that? Were you appreciative of it? I believe you probably were. Now, change it around. Can you name the last time you did an act of kindness for someone else? And if so, what was their response to you? Were they appreciative? I'm sure if they understood what was being done, they were. Did you know? And I'll be honest, until I was in the process of preparing for this lesson, I didn't even know this, but did you know that this past Wednesday, February the 17th, was Random Act of Kindness Day? Didn't know that. Just happened to find it on the internet, looking through for some other information referring to kindness, and realized this past Wednesday was Random Act of Kindness Day. I did not plan this sermon because of that. I planned this sermon because we're working through the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to share with you a quote from a man named Leo Buscaglia. Mr. Buscaglia is a writer, or was a writer. He has since passed away. He was a motivational speaker. He was also a professor in the Department of Special Education at the University of Southern California, and he made this statement. I thought it was very interesting. He said, "Too often we underestimate the power of touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around." We underestimate those things, those little acts of kindness, which, as he said, have the power to turn a life around. Mark Twain said this. He said, "Kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see." And another author from the 19th century, a man by the name of Henry James, made a statement that I thought was very interesting. He said, "Three things are most important in the human life. The first is be kind. The second is be kind. The third is be kind." So with all of this, is there any question as to why the Apostle Paul listed kindness as one of those traits of the fruit which the Holy Spirit seeks to develop in our lives as Christians? I don't think so. This morning I want us to look at that aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, and ask ourselves, how are we doing at that? Is it evident in our lives? Because if we're going to change a world, if we're going to be the hands of Jesus, then we've got to keep working toward doing these things, being the people He calls us to be, so that we can make a difference in this world. Let's go back and just ask ourselves a question. What is kindness? If you had to define it, you probably could tell me, this is what I think kindness is. Let me tell you, first of all, there are two different words typically used in our, maybe I should say, in the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament for kindness. The word that is used in the Hebrew Old Testament, the Hebrew word, is the word chesed. It has several meanings, as you will find them translated, depending on the Bible translation that you're reading from. If you're reading from the King James translation, it's generally the word mercy. It's used 149 times to translate that word. Also, we find just the word kindness that is used to translate that word. Sometimes it's the word loyalty. When it is typically used of God, it is one of these words. It's mercy, or that's the way it's typically found in the King James, New King James. If you're reading from the old NIV of 1984, it's the word love. If you're reading from the New American Standard, it is the word loving kindness. you're reading from the English Standard Version, it's just steadfast love. All of these refer to that. When you come to the New Testament, it is the Greek word Christotes. It's very similar to the word Christos, from which we get Christ. And it is often translated in our Bibles as either goodness or kindness. But let's give it a definition that I think all of us are familiar with. Maybe it works for us. Kindness, if you remember last week, I talked about patience and said that patience is composed of a number of attributes. Kindness is the same way. It has a number of attributes that are found within it. Things like loving affection, sympathy, friendliness, patience, pleasantness, gentleness, goodness. Kindness is a quality in our lives that is seen in the way that we speak and we act around those that we encounter every day. But here's something I hope that maybe you've considered. Kindness is not an emotion, nor is it a feeling. Kindness is a choice. So every single day of our lives, we make a choice to either be kind or not to be kind. And God would prefer that we choose to be kind. Why? Because God is kind. You know, oftentimes people, as they're reading about God in the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament is a vengeful God. The God of the Old Testament is a wrathful God. The God of the Old Testament is a mean God. I would encourage people who say that to read the Old Testament all the way through. And there's something else that's going to become very evident to you as you look at God in the Old Testament. God is a God of loving kindness. We find that repeated over. It perhaps is the one characteristic that is mentioned of Him more than any other in all of the Old Testament. If you go to Exodus chapter 20, Moses is receiving the law. God is giving it to them on Mount Sinai. And right after, there in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, right after He gives the second commandment, the one that teaches them or tells them that they're not to make any graven image, nor are they to bow down before that image and serve that image, He then gives them the reason why there in verse 5. And He tells them, "For the Lord your God is a jealous God." And He goes on to add to that, "visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." But then, don't stop there. Read verse 6. "But showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." If you go over to Psalm 145, it's a psalm that's written by David. David there, two different verses I want to draw your attention to. First of all, Psalm 145, verse 8, there David makes this statement. He says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger," and listen to this, "and great in loving kindness." 9 verses later, down in verse 17, David adds this there in Psalm 145. He says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and kind in all His deeds." But let me take you to one other passage. If you've got your Bibles, and I hope that you've brought your Bibles with you, Psalm 136. In Psalm 136, it's a beautiful psalm, but I can imagine it. Many of you are familiar with what we call antiphonal singing. We do it here all the time. You know where the sopranos and the altos have a lead part and then the bass respond to it. "Who saved us from eternal loss? Who but God's Son upon the cross? What did He do? He died for you. Where is He now? In heaven." We've done those things. But in Psalm 136, it's the same idea, because there is one statement that is repeated over and over, and you can just hear them singing. There's the lead part, the first part of the verse. For example, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." What's the response? "His loving kindness is everlasting." Verse 2, "Give thanks to the God of gods." What's the response? "For His loving kindness is everlasting." Verse 3, "Give thanks to the Lord of lords." What's the response? For his loving kindness is everlasting. This goes on and on and on throughout the entire psalm. 26 verses in this psalm, 25 times in this one psalm, you find that statement, for his loving kindness is everlasting. If you're reading from the Old King James, his mercy endureth forever. If you're reading from the NIV, his love endures forever. You see, God is kind. And it is the kindness of God that is the basis of our salvation. You and I would have no hope of salvation if it were not for the kindness of God toward us in our lives. As a matter of fact, it is the kindness of God, Paul said there in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that is designed to lead us to repentance. Here's the way he put it. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? God shows every one of us kindness, and the reason he does that is to draw us to himself, to cause us to change in our lives, to realize that what he offers is so much better than what the world offers. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, Paul reminds us that it is the appearance of God's kindness that brought our salvation. Here's the way he puts it. He says, but when the kindness of God our Savior appeared, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. What is that? When the kindness of God and the love of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared. The kindness of God is what prompted God to reach out and to save us. Now here's something that I hope all of us will consider. There's not a single one of us in this room or anyone that may be watching this later who deserve God's kindness. There's not a single one of us who can earn God's kindness. No. His kindness is free, and it's also full of mercy. That's why it's called kindness. He extends it to us. But we also must not, in our lives, think that the kindness which God has shown us was easy, nor was it cheap. God's kindness. God showed us, extended to us, the most costly act of kindness that mankind has ever known. He gave his only son. There is no greater act of kindness that has ever been shown to any individual anywhere upon the face of this planet over any period of time. And we must stop and realize that it is because of that that you and I even have our salvation. But something else about this kindness of God. And it's what we find in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 that he brings out that is ties in with this basis of our salvation. According to what Paul writes in verse 7, this kindness is the means by which God displays his grace toward us in our lives. But I have to back up to verse 4 and bring you through this. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, and I think it's up here before you. Yes, it is. And here's what he says, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, our sins, made us alive together with Christ. And then Paul inserts that, something he's already said, by grace you have been saved. But God made us alive together with Christ, raised us up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ, so that in the ages to come, look at this last bit, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace. Look at the last part, in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's grace, that unmerited favor that you and I have received that brings our salvation, he says that grace is shown to us in the person of Jesus Christ. The kindness that God has shown to us through Jesus Christ, sending his Son to die for us. He says That kindness is the demonstration. This is the way God is constantly showing His grace to us. We have the opportunity for salvation because of all of that. But that kindness is something else. It is the basis. His kindness is the basis of our treatment of those around us. If you go back to Luke chapter 6, there in verse 35, we often refer to that. You have in Matthew the Sermon on the Mount. Luke in chapter 6 is the Sermon on the Plain. They're almost identical. There's some differences, but not much. And what you find Him saying there in verse 35 is this. This is Jesus speaking. Love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be called, or you will be sons of the Most High. Okay, that's what He says. What are we to do? He tells us, love your enemies, do good, lend, expect nothing back from it. Why? Why should I live that way? Why should my life be governed by those principles? He tells us why. He says, because this is the way God is. And look at how He ends that. For He Himself, that's God. He Himself is what? He is kind to the ungrateful and evil men. Notice He doesn't say, God is kind to the righteous. God is kind to those who seek Him. God is kind to those who obey His will. We know that. But Jesus takes it a step further and says, God is kind to ungrateful people. God is kind to evil people. Ungrateful people are those who take God's kindness for granted. They don't give a second thought about it. Evil people are those who turn their back upon God. They despise Him. And yet, what does Jesus say? He's kind to them. He's still kind. And He tells us, you be this way. You be kind. You see, if you go back and you look at our reading this morning that Kyle shared with us there in Ephesians chapter 4, if we're going to be imitators of God, Ephesians 5:1, what do? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as what? God has also forgiven you in Christ Jesus. You see, God's kindness is what we are called to imitate in our lives on an everyday basis with those that we see around us, that we encounter, that we work with, that we live with, that we just meet somewhere on the street. We are to show them kindness. We are to imitate God. And that's what we're doing. We're imitating God by our own kindness. Kindness, according to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it's a garment, if you will, that we put on. He puts it this way. He says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. That's what you are. If you're a Christian, you're somebody that God has chosen to save through the blood of Christ. He calls you holy. You are set apart. You belong to Him. You're His loved. Well, what does He say to you? What does He tell us to do? Put on a heart of compassion. And notice the second word, kindness. Humility, gentleness, and patience. Kindness. Share with you some other passages. If you go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, Solomon there, that wise individual, said that you and I should bind kindness and truth around our neck. He says we should write them on the tablet of our hearts. If you go to Proverbs chapter 19, there in verse 22, he says something else. He tells us that what is desirable in a man is his kindness. Men, how are we doing at that? Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Solomon said that what's desirable in us, men, is kindness. Do people consider us kind individuals? Or are we rough and gruff? We tell people what we think in a heartbeat. Hurt their feelings, so be it. That's their problem. And women, go to Proverbs 31. Remember that virtuous woman, that excellent wife? This is what King Lemuel's mother told him to look for in a woman. An excellent wife. Who can find? Her price is far above, the old King James says, rubies. But if you look down in verse 10, or actually further down, he says, the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. That's the woman that God says is an excellent woman. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So kindness is the way we imitate God. It's the garment that we put on in our lives. Take off the old, put on the new, as we see there in Colossians chapter 3. But then something else. Kindness is to characterize the way which we treat everybody. Let me take you to one other passage. Back up there in Ephesians chapter 4. Go to verse 31. Our reading was verse 32 through Ephesians 5:2, but back up to verse 31 and look at what Paul says there. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And then we have verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You know, we see enough of that in our world today, don't we? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. What's clamor? I had to look that one up. Shouting, people shouting at one another. Malice, people intending harm for others. We see enough of that every day, don't we? Turn your television on. Turn it off. You don't have to watch it. I get sick and tired of watching it. But what do we replace that with? You see, you and I as Christians are called to be totally different from that. We're called to be people who are kind, people who are tenderhearted, people who know how to forgive. Why? Because he tells us this is what God has done for you through his Son. God has shown you kindness. God has been tenderhearted towards you. God has forgiven you. Remember what 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says? Love is patient, but what's the next one? Love is kind. So let's stop and ask ourselves for just a moment. Husbands, are you kind to your wives? Would your wife say, yeah, I've got a kind husband? Wives, are you kind to your husband? Parents, are you kind to your children? And then again, children, are you kind to your siblings? That's a good one, isn't it? Are we kind to our siblings? You know, if we're not kind in our homes around the people that we claim to love, then where else in the world is anybody going to see kindness if it's not seen by us in our own homes with the people that we say we love? You remember what Jesus said to his disciples there in John 13, verse 34? He says, after telling them, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. He comes back in verse 35, and what does he say? By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Well, what did we just say love is composed of? Kindness. So people will know that we're disciples of Christ if we show kindness one toward another. So how do we act toward others? That's what this is really all about. How do we act toward others? Are people at ease in our presence because they know us to be people who are kind to them? Do they know us as being people that they feel like they can draw close to and really engage with? Or do they find themselves being pushed away from us because they're going to be treated with the cold shoulder? Or somebody is going to be arrogant toward them or condescending toward them or whatever else that might indicate a lack of kindness? Share with you something that I just learned in preparing for this. 50 years ago this past month, country music artist by the name of, those of you who are older will recognize his name, he passed away just this last year, Glenn Campbell, wrote a song. It came out 50 years ago this last month. You know what the title of that song was? try a little kindness. Remember the words to it? I looked it up to make sure I had it right. I'm going to share the two stanzas and then part of the chorus. He says this, "If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from seeds he sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, 'You're going the wrong way.'" Second stanza, "Don't walk around the down and out. Lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way." And here's the part of the chorus I want to share. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. Remember what Mark Twain said? "Kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see." Or as Aesop, who is familiar, that we may be familiar with, the old Greek fabulist said, and we've heard this one quoted many times, "No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted." So let me ask you, God wants to use your kindness to draw others to Himself. How are we doing at that? Will people be drawn to Christ because they see kindness in those who claim to belong to Him? If not, then there's something wrong with us that we have to change. We have to become a people who demonstrate that kindness and live it out in our lives, because that's part of the fruit that the Spirit wants to develop in our lives. And if people are turned away because we are unkind, then we will be held accountable for that. So if we're not the kind people that God wants us to be, let's work to change that. Let's ask God to help us be more kind. But today, if you're a person who's not a Christian, you have not come to Christ in obedient faith, I want you to know the kindness that God has expressed to you through His Son and the grace that He extends to you because of that. I want you to know the salvation that He says, "This is yours if you will come in obedient faith and confess the name of My Son and be buried with Him in baptism and live a life devoted to Him. Then I will change your life so that you will become the person that I want you to be." If you need to respond to His invitation, why not come right now?